So we've been talking about some halachos that are relevant to the summer months. And one thing that comes to my attention is the fact that often during the summer we like to have our meals outside. May as well appreciate the nice weather and the warm weather that we have. And the question sometimes becomes, what about on Shabbos? Do we have a right to have picnics on Shabbos? Do we have a right to eat outside? Or sometimes you go to a shul where they have an area outside on the lawn and they like to make a kiddush there after Shabbos morning davening. And the question is that permissible or not? So let us try to appreciate and understand this issue. We have one of the lamites of us malachos is the malacha of zoreya, is planting. And as we know, all of the lamites of us malachos are derived from the activities that took place in the Mishkan. So the Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel, that one of the malachos that was necessary in the Mishkan was zoreya. They had to plant. Now says the Gemara, what did they have to plant? When was that a part of the construction of the Mishkan? So it says because there was a need for many different kinds of herbs in order to be able to dye all of those different materials that were necessary to build a Mishkan, therefore the Gemara says that that is where we find the malacha of zoreya, and that is why you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos today because of what was done in the days of the Mishkan. Now what's interesting is that every single one of the malachas we generally find has a minimum shear in order to violate it. So for example, hotzah, the Gemara says when you talk about the malacha of hotzah, of carrying outside, we assume that it has to be a certain minimum shear, a certain minimum requirement of what it is that you're carrying in order to violate the aveira. We find that by many different malachos. Tofer, let's say you're not allowed to sew, you're not allowed to weave something together. So it says that there's a minimum requirement, the Gemara tells us, of how much is necessary to weave together in order to be in violation. Kosev, let's say you're not allowed to write on Shabbos. So the Gemara says it's only if you write shtei osios, only if you write aleph beis, or you write something that actually has some kind of meaning. So the question that we need to ask ourselves here is, when we confront the malacha of zoreya, of planting, how much must a person plant in order to be in violation of the malacha of zoreya? And how much must it actually grow? Now those are two different questions, because, as we all know, if you put a seed in the ground, it's not going to grow before the end of Shabbos. That we know. It takes years and years, it takes months and months, in order for a seed to be able to begin to develop into something that we are able to see, that we're able to experience. So what does it mean that you violate the malacha of zoreya? And this is a fascinating question raised by the Minchas Chinuch, by all other malachos. Let's say, for example, kosev. If I take a pen and I write two letters, right away there's a cause, there's an effect. I took a pen, I wrote the letters on the paper, I now see what happened because of what I did. It's very clear that a malacha was violated. If I pick something up, I bring it outside, that is the malacha of hotzah. It's very clearly defined. However, writes the Minchas Chinuch, I don't understand how you would ever figure out how one can categorize the malacha of zoreya. After all, he says, you can plant a seed in the ground, and then it's going to take 6 months until the seed actually comes out of the ground and something grows from it. When have I violated the malacha? Does that mean that now, 6 months later, when it begins to grow, now I have retroactively been mechalel Shabbos 6 months earlier? Does it mean that 6 months from now, when something sprouts from the ground, that's when I violate the malacha, but it could be a Tuesday afternoon. So how could I violate a malacha on a Tuesday afternoon? There's no problem of doing malacha. So this is the major issue that the Minchas Chinuch has. And after all, says the Minchas Chinuch, what would happen if I planted something on Shabbos and then Matzai Shabbos I went immediately and took it out of the ground? Would you say that now I've been able to undo my malacha? Or if I went in that whole interim period before it starts to sprout and I uprooted whatever I had originally put into the ground, does that undo my malacha or not? So it's very complicated. It's not easy to really figure it out. The Minchas Chinuch also relates this to the malacha of Bishul. He says, as we know, everything that you're going to cook, everything that you're going to bake, will take a certain amount of time. So let's say I take bread, and I put it into the oven. And we all know that in order for bread to bake, it has to be in there for, I don't know, let's say a half an hour, argument's sake, I don't know. So you put bread in the oven, and then somebody reminds you, what are you doing, Schechter? You put bread in the oven, it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Ofer or Bishul, you're not allowed to be involved in that. So I quickly go 10 minutes later, take it out of the oven. So it didn't really get cooked or baked yet, it couldn't have gotten fully cooked or baked, but I already did the violation of Bishul because I put it into the oven. So do you say I violate now, by the act of putting it in, or do you say I violate once it becomes baked, once it becomes cooked, then I have retroactively violated the aveira? What's the difference? Either way, if the bread bakes, it's baked. The answer is, says the Menchas Chinuch, what if I do it 5 minutes before the end of Shabbos? I throw it into the oven, and it's not going to get baked. It's impossible for it to ever get baked until Shabbos is actually over. Would I be in violation of Ofeh if nothing happened on Shabbos itself and the entire act of baking took place after Shabbos was over? So this is a general question you need to ask yourself that's very relevant to the Malach of Zoreya as well. But anyway, be it as it may, what is the minimum shear that we find? What is the minimum requirement of what somebody needs to plant in the ground in order to be in violation of the Malacha of Zoreya? Says the Gemara, and this is quoted in the Rambam, this is an unusual Malacha because we assume Zoreya afilu b'kol shehu chayiv. If you plant something in the ground, even if it's the smallest seed, even if it has such a tiny little amount, once you plant it into the ground, we assume you have violated the prohibition of planting on Shabbos. And let's read the Rambam where he says, Hazoreya kol shehu chayiv. If somebody plants in the ground on Shabbos, doesn't matter how much, how little, you are in violation of the malacha of Zoreya b'Shabbos. So, now let's ask ourselves, which activities are involved, are part, are an extension of the malacha of Zoreya? Obviously, if I take a seed out of an apple and I put it into the ground, that's the classic case of Zoreya. But that usually is not what we people here who live in a neighborhood like ours, we're not usually planting fruit trees. That's not usually what we're engaged in. So when is Zoreya ever relevant to us? That is a very good question. The Gemara expands the concept of Zoreya and says it's not only when you take an apple seed and you plant it into the ground. That's a clear violation. But says the Gemara, it extends far greater than that. And says the Gemara, any action that will assist or that will further enhance or advance the process of planting or growing of something, that is already considered to be an extension of the Malacha of Zoreya. So for example, says the Gemara, if I have plants that are already in the ground, I have a tree that is already growing, I already have fruits that have come from this tree, but now I go and I water the plants or I water the tree, even though I'm not planting, I don't dig anything into the ground, I don't cover it over with soil, we assume that since you are enhancing the process of its growth, that is also an extension of the Malacha of Zoreya. Or says the Gemara Moed Katan, if somebody is involved in pruning the unwanted weeds that are a part of this tree or the unwanted branches that you really feel get in the way of the growth of whatever the fruit might be, says the Gemara, that is an extension of the Malacha of Zoreya. Even though I'm not putting anything into the ground, it already grew on its own, but since now I feel that the growth is stunted because I have these unwanted weeds around in the way, that would be something that is also an extension of the Malacha of Zoreya as well. So, I mention this because, as we mentioned, Zoreya is not only planting something in the ground, but Zoreya would be also, if I do anything that would enhance the process of planting as well, I have already violated the Malacha on Shabbos. So now, let's look at the Sefer Yireim. The Sefer Yireim, one of the Rishonim, writes, Tzarech HaAdam, he's speaking to us in the summer months, he says, Tzarech HaAdam Lehizaher, one needs to be careful, B'makom She'asavim Uzraim Tzrichim Lemayim. If I live in a place where I have a backyard, and my zroi means either the new seeds that I just planted into the ground, or I have grass, for that matter, it's already planted, but it needs water. It needs water. Kigon bimos hakayitz, he says, for example, in the summer months, lo yashlich shamayim, you have to be careful that on Shabbos you don't take water and plant, and not plant, but you don't water your grass, or you don't water all your flowers. V'lo yirchatz yadav aleihem. It's very relevant to sukkahs. If you have a sukkah outside, which we all are supposed to have, and you have grass outside, so you have to be careful where you're going to wash your hands before the meal begins. Says the Sefer Yireim, you have to be careful about the fact that when you wash your hands, you might also come to water the plants. And therefore, he says, even though you might not realize that that's a malacha of Zoreya, because what am I doing? All I'm doing is pouring water over my hands, but he says if it ends up watering the grass, that would be an issue. Then he writes, V'lo yashtin aleihem, not a nice thing anyway to relieve yourself outside without finding a bathroom, especially today, but sometimes there's an emergency and you need to, and the Gemara says, here, I'm sorry, the Sefer Yireim writes, you have to be careful about that as well. Maybe that will enhance the process of growth of your plants as well. Afo pi shelo yiskavin legidulam. Even though obviously on Sukkot, when I wash my hands outside, I have no intent at all for the grass to grow. When a person needs the bathroom and they cannot find somewhere inside and they have to use some facility outside, we don't assume that they have any intent at all to help the grass grow. They're just going to the closest location they can find. That's a little bit private. But still, says the Sefer Yireim, it's not allowed on Shabbos. Why? because that would be a psik resha. Whether you like it or not, you're helping the grass grow, and therefore he says, lakach sarach lihizar v'lachash. Therefore he says, you have to make sure to be careful about this issue, because you will enhance the process of growth even in a minimal way, and that already is a violation of the malacha of Zorea b'Shabbos. Along those same lines, the Sefer HaTrumah writes, another one of the Rishonim, that you also have to be careful. Shelo lechol b'pardesin. Now this is taking it 100 steps further. The first issue was, I shouldn't wash my hands over the grass because washing my hands is obviously going to enhance the process of growth. However, the Sefer HaTrumah writes, now let's take it further. You have to be careful. Lo lechol b'pardesin b'mosachama. In the summer months, he says, to make a picnic outside when I have grass there. You're not allowed to eat outside on Shabbos. Why? Mipnei she'i efshar lihizayir shelo yishbichu amayim agabi ha'asavim. Because it's impossible to make sure that nothing's going to spill. We're all sitting around the table, we're having a meal, somebody's cup is going to inadvertently spill at some point over the meal, and therefore he says, that would be a problem of Zareya, and therefore we need to be very careful. Writes the Sefer HaTrumah, if you would do that, you would be chayev mishum mashke. You are now planting all the grass that's growing outside, or the flowers, or whatever it might be, and therefore that would be a violation of Zareya. These two concerns are actually mentioned in Shulchan Aruch itself. It's not just that we dug up a Sefer Yireim or a Sefer HaTrumah. The Shulchan Aruch himself quotes this lehalacha in Hilchos Shabbos, and he writes in Siman Shin Lamed Vav, Asurim lita yideim al ha'asavim shemashkim osam. One is not allowed to wash their hands over the grass. Afal pi she'enu mechuvanim, even though I have no intent, mechavnim, I have no idea whether or not this is going to make it grow, and I'm certainly not interested in it growing, but he says that would be a problem because that is a psik resha. It is inevitable that it is going to help the process of growth by pouring the water on it. Number two, the Rama adds, Lachein tov lahachmir shelo lechol beginos. Therefore, says the Rama, he doesn't say it's asur, but he says tov lahachmir. He says, I identify with this concern of the Sefer HaTrumah, and writes the Rama, I think one should be machmir, not to have a picnic outside on Shabbos. Im yishtamish sham im mayim, if you're going to serve drinks, you have to be careful because the water might very easily spill onto the ground, and then once again you're back to your problem. Now we all know that many people have the practice that they eat outside. There are many shuls who have a picnic outside, or they have a kiddush outside, as we mentioned. Why are they not concerned? What is the justification for them to have these kiddushes outside, or to have people eating outside, when after all the Rama says very clearly in Shulchan Aruch that this is something that we should be careful about? And the answer to that is a number of positions that are given by the Achronim. Number one, the Achronim say, perhaps if it's not my backyard, there is no concern. Because after all, he says, that would be something that is not for my own benefit. I don't care whether the shul's, I mean, I should care, but I don't really care whether or not my neighbor's grass grows or the shul grass grows well or not. It doesn't make a difference to me. If one day I would show up to shul and I would see, oh, somebody went and picked out all the flowers, somebody cut off the grass, I would say, okay, it's not nice, but it's not my problem. Right? That's what many people would say. And therefore, there are some Achronim who write, the Mishneh Berurah quotes in the Magen Avraham, if it's not on my term, if it's not on my grass, it's not on my backyard, perhaps there's reason to be makel because it is not something that I'm doing for my own personal benefit. Number two, some Achronim say that the only time you have to be concerned is like the case of the Sefer Yireim, where you are specifically going out of your way to pour the water on your hands. For sure it's going to go on the ground. However, he writes, what is the likelihood today that you're going to have water spill on the floor? So you'll say, what's the difference between today and the Sefer HaTrumah? The difference is now we eat on a table. Whenever we have a kiddush, everybody has, or we eat a meal outside, everybody has a table. Usually we don't sit on the grass on Shabbos. If you're going to sit on the grass and pour drinks, so then you have the consideration of the Sefer HaTrumah. But if all you're going to do is have a table set up outside, what is the likelihood that from the people sitting at the table, the water is going to spill off the table, get onto the grass? From all the people that are sitting here, we'll try to be careful, and therefore some Achronim say that we don't have to be so careful about that either. Another consideration that is put forth by Reb Shlomo Zalman Arabachi is perhaps the reason why many are makel today is because he writes that we know generally we try to take care of our yards, we try to take care of our lawns, and therefore we have a sprinkler system going out in the middle of the night, the middle of the day, whatever it might be. So this little bit of water that's going to go on my grass is not really going to help it grow. To the contrary, it's going to drown it. I already watered the grass for the day. It doesn't need any more water. So now if something spills on it, you're not helping the process of growth. You are getting in the way of the process of growth. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, maybe that's another reason to consider why perhaps it should be potentially mutter, because people are careful today that they should water the grass, water the plants, and if more water falls on it, you are not really enhancing the process of growth too much. However, Shmir Shabbos Kalchasa writes, with all these heterim that we have, and yes, the Acharonim give a number of considerations to keep in mind why perhaps it should be mutter today, says the Shmir Shabbos Kalchasa, Chalila lehakel bazeh. He says, in my opinion, I think Sefer Atruma is right, the Ramah is correct, we should be machmir for this, because after all, he says, it is very likely when you have many people sitting around, when you have a whole community coming to a kiddush, somebody's going to bump into somebody else, and inadvertently somebody's drink is going to spill on the grass, and therefore he says perhaps you have to be very concerned, and the consideration that the Ramah mentions to us is something that we still might have to keep in mind, even though many of the circumstances may have changed from the days of the Rishonim to our situation today. Yes, question.